This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
A ball of confusion.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
And I, boy, and I, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free.
Vote for me and I'll set you free. Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You know, all week, Sandy Williams is here, and I'm excited about that. We're going to cover a lot of different things pre and after the election. And so we've been talking about your thoughts on, you know, how you feel and what's, you know, your thoughts. You know, I just received a text that I want to read to you and hear your response. Good day. CJ's comments involving the election should be disqualifying for him to be a guest on your show. He has consistently demonstrated he is not capable of holding any type of reasonable conversation or fairness to the listening audience. Sandy, your thoughts on that?
Well, the part of the conversation with him was the parting shot that was most troubling, which was, will you honor the election results if Donald Trump loses? His response was, hell no. And I fear that there might be a large swath of people out there who have been instructed by Donald Trump to have that reaction. It would be interesting to find out where that reaction comes from. Why would, without talking about why someone loses the election or any causal issue associated with some problem with the election, to simply decide that the election is irrelevant if your candidate loses and that your candidate should win in any case, is to reject the whole notion of elections, okay? And I fear that that's really what Donald Trump has fed to the people, which is the last election was stolen from him because too many people voted against him. Not that they were illegally voting against him. It's just that it was stolen from him because too many people were persuaded to vote against him, and which means that elections are irrelevant, yeah. Okay? Because if you lose, it doesn't matter why you didn't lose. And that's a very dangerous thing for us, and I think that's the treachery that is the real problem with for the democracy. Not so much what is this person going to do when they get in office, although I think there's lots of mischief and lots of problems to be caused. But so far, the mischief that's been caused has been to destroy the credibility of information sources and to destroy the credibility of elections and to try to destroy the credibility of the media. So we're left with a totally chaotic situation.
So, James, I have to tell you that the orchestrator of that email, what CJ said in the end spoke volumes of the conversation that we just had. Cassandra from Middleton, good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Sandy. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing fine. And you?
I'm good. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to talk about the presidential election because, quite honestly, it's too close, and I don't know who's going to win.
Right. None of us do.
But I would like to get yours and Sandy's thoughts on the Senate race, the Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde Senate race. And out of the three blue wall states with the senators running, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, Tammy Baldwin is the most vulnerable. And I guess as a political strategist, I would have to applaud the Eric Hovde campaign. They have done something that no other candidate who has ran against her has been willing to do, and that is to find a way to discuss her sexual orientation. Not that it should matter, but they have found the clever way to bring up her sexual orientation and remind voters that she is a lesbian, and also this topic about her partner or girlfriend, as Tammy Baldwin refers to her, has a conflict of interest because she works with very affluent clients and to help them invest in many of the companies that Baldwin regulates in her job in the Senate. And Baldwin, if she loses, I think that will be primarily the reason why. She has never offered a sufficient reason as to why this is happening. So, Sandy, your thoughts on it?
Well, to be honest with you, I think everything you said is sort of extraneous to the race, okay? I mean, you know, I think the reason candidates running against her in the past haven't brought up her sexual preference is the result that it has no place in the discussion of regarding the qualifications of a candidate. With respect to the potential question of conflict of interest of her partner, I think Congress is filled with people whose spouses might be bankers or otherwise be involved in the financial industry. And so, you know, the notion that Tammy Baldwin has some kind of a peculiar conflict of interest, the person she's running against owns a bank, okay, and is a terribly wealthy individual. And himself probably has lots of conflicts of interest were he to be put in the same kinds of positions of responsibility. So, you know, I guess I find the conversation to be meritless.
So Tony says, Hovde has run a horrible campaign. His campaign strategy is to have a massive ad buy. Just like Ron Johnson against Barnes, if they had an effective strategy, he wouldn't need money as a crutch. That's from Tony. Let's go to Adam from Mequon. Good morning to you, Adam. You say what?
Hey, CJ. Sorry. Talking about CJ, going back to CJ's question. Sorry. You're not CJ.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So no, I to teach CJ a lesson in democracy, I think you should put him being on your show to a vote and vote, you know, and poll your audience and see who votes yes or no. And that would teach CJ a lesson in democracy about winning and losing. Just my thought.
Well, my view of CJ on the show is that what we really are is a platform for conversation. And so I am totally against censorship and against censoring conversation, and I'm all for hearing all sides. And you know, in a business setting, whatever anybody within that business thinks is important, if not because it's factually accurate, but it's important because they think it, okay? And the importance of that is that a person has generated that set of thoughts in the context of the business. And here we are in the context of a society, and I think it's important that we listen to those within our society to figure out what thoughts they have and why. And I'm not any closer necessarily in my mind to understanding CJ and why, but I think it is important to understand the Trump movement and why so many people are thinking as they do in terms of deciding to pull the lever and vote for Donald Trump, because obviously there are many, many millions, and we're on sitting on pins and needles because we don't know which side is going to vote in largest numbers now. So, I think as a radio station, I think you're right. Democracy is a lesson that needs to be learned by people like C. Jacob because of the conversation he had in the end to it where he said, hell no, about abiding by the election. on the other hand, I think we all have to listen to one another.
You know, Sandy, you know my opinion on it. Phone lines are open for everybody. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government through a democracy, and we are showing that through our vote. I'm not going to go into the weeds in terms of all these right-wingers that have called in this morning, because what I'm focusing on is actually getting out the vote. I do think it's going to be an actual landslide. In fact, that would be my word for today and tomorrow, landslide. And anybody out there that's calling in or anything, if you want to make this election where there is no doubt, where we don't have to talk about Donald Trump ever again, make this a landslide. Get your friends, your family, get three extra people out to vote that may not vote, because that's what it's going to take. This weekend, we had over 350 people on our wisdoms.org phone banking. That's like a record number of people that have shown up. We got people on the ground game that are doing things. The votes are actually turning towards Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and Tammy Baldwin and Kristen Lierley and every Democrat that's in the running. So don't lose faith, guys. Just get to work and do something, as Michelle Obama says. And honestly, don't let these people that are, you know, if they want to be on the show, that's fine. But don't let them filibuster and just give their right-wing talking points, especially the day before the election. Just get out there and work as hard as you can and be the person that you are and leave it all on the field, because of the fact that, you know, we have a democracy to win here. And I'm telling you right now, the right wing has made it so the Supreme Court has already put it in line that everything will fall into place. And not only that, just look at one of Donald Trump's rallies versus Kamala Harris's rallies. One is joy and fun and dancing and singing, and one is just dark. If you really want to.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's Monday, Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and my co-host Sandy Williams is joining me the entire week. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, and all is not lost when we're listening to Gladys Knight and Midnight train to Georgia. Anyway, I want to welcome my next guest, Texas Congresswoman Miss Jasmine Crockett. Good morning to you, Congresswoman, and welcome back.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you.
So we're here. You know, all the hard work.
Yeah.
Well, what do you want to say?
No, I was just going to say I'm so happy that tomorrow's election day. I don't know that I could survive. I don't know that there's enough coffee left for me to make it another day. So I am so excited that it has finally arrived.
Well, you've run for elections before. For heaven's sakes, you're a congresswoman. What are your thoughts about the prospects of a woman, not just a black woman, but this close to a woman becoming the president of the United States? I mean, what are your thoughts?
You know, I honestly am that person that cannot stop running long enough to really take it in. I think for me, I will probably crash and it will all hit me. And I'll be very emotional, not just that it's a woman, but also that it's a black woman. And also that it is specifically Kamala Harris, someone that I look at as a mentor of mine, someone that I consider to be the great encourager of me, even in those times of doubt myself in my own career, and someone that was an inspiration to me before I ever imagined that I would ever be in Congress, but watching her as the only black woman prosecutor that I saw in the country as a young black lawyer. And I can only imagine the generations of girls and women throughout the world that will be inspired by her, not just because she is the most powerful woman in the world, but be inspired by her because they can see themselves in her and understand that if she can become the president, there is nothing that we cannot do. And so I'm just blessed to live and to see this moment up close and personal, and to have my very own stories on the trail about what it's been like to support such a phenomenal candidate who also just happens to be a historic one.
So you know her better than most of us, the audience. You know her from the inside out. So we're sitting here and we're trying to figure out what kind of a person she is, how much strength she has. You know that. What do you want to say to us, those of us who don't know her like you know her, just what we'd be getting?
Yeah, you know, think about your cousin, your auntie, your uncle, your sister, your brother, whoever went to a HBCU. Think about them first. I will start there because as we know, HBCUs are such special places because they always instill this great sense of pride in what it is to be black. It is a space unlike any other space. And so that is kind of at the core of who she is. That is the foundation. We always talk about people's education being their foundation. This is at the foundation and core of her, and not only do I have the privilege of knowing her directly, but also I've met line sisters of hers, people that have known her since college, and, you know, her line sisters are on their own bus tour right now, right? The fact that this is a real one, somebody that is better understanding of our very real circumstances in this country than probably any other president that we've had. You know, a lot of people like to tell their stories, but I mean, when you look at the Bushes, that's been a political dynasty. Even when you look at the Clintons, while, you know, Bill came from, you know, Hope, Arkansas, and not necessarily, you know, this rich upbringing, we know that, you know, he became a pretty young governor and a pretty young president. We're talking about somebody that truly has had this kind of rocket trajectory when you look at the totality of her time in elected office, and it was never necessarily written for her to be in any of these spaces. This is somebody that listens. As we consistently heard that black men were struggling and did not know if anybody was listening to them and had an agenda, she made sure she put forth an agenda that was responsive to what she heard Black men were really wanting answers on, not just throwing something out there. I've been at a dinner table with her where she is asked of me, even as a young freshman member of Congress, about different things. We want leaders that will listen to everybody and see everybody, and not ignore or try to act as if they are above. This is somebody that you can trust, understands what it was like when we had to deal with our overdraft fees. And so we saw that this administration made sure that those $35 overdraft fees got cut down significantly.
You know, Congresswoman Crockett just promised me you'll bring that energy and excitement back to us, if only for a moment, after the election.
I absolutely promise.
All right. That's Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. It's really an exciting time, and we'll see what happens on tomorrow. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This is a hit.
What would a Motown Monday be without James Brown?
Just put your cape on. Or...
Yeah. But I think this is the first time I played James Brown on a Motown Monday. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It is a Motown Monday. Sandy Williams, my co-host on Tuesdays and Fridays, is here, but he's going to be with us every day this week, and I'm excited about that, but we'll go right back to the phone lines. Thank you guys for hanging on. Let's go to Gene from Kenosha. You're next up. Gene, thank you. You say what?
From Eau Claire, but that's great.
What did I say?
Kenosha.
Oh, okay, Eau Claire. Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay. I'm just so excited, I have to say, you have the best guest on. This woman, Jasmine Crockett, outstanding. I watch her daily, fighting for Americans every single day. Just intelligent, one of the best congresswomen that I've seen. And then, you know what? We got a lot of women that are working really hard every single day for us in America, and I have watched them live. They work for the people. They're not there playing games, trying to not get things done, going after different people. They are there representing us, working to make our lives better for the future of our kids and all Americans. And it's amazing, Earl. She's just outstanding. And Tammy Baldwin is the same way. I just have to say, I have watched Tammy Baldwin for years. And I'd watch her in the Senate. I'd sit there and watch some of those sessions, you know, where people are voting or they're arguing cases. But they don't do that much anymore since Trump was in office and we got the MAGAs in there. But that woman, she works really hard. She's there. She's taking notes. She's paying attention. She comes out there. She votes for the people. Tammy Baldwin's outstanding. She's the only congressman that we have in the state of Wisconsin. And you can talk to a lot of people who have tried to get a hold of the other guy that uses Mandela Barnes as a scapegoat and just
right.
Ugly. You know, and you know what? They're still using Mandela Barnes today in ads like, oh, you know, they work with people like Mandela Barnes. That just makes me
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Thank you for your energy and all the hard work. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike.
Happy Motown Monday.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you taking my call as always. I appreciate it. Hey, real quick, my biggest frustration when I'm listening to all these ads from the Republican side is just about every one of them is manufactured conflict. It's not even true. They talk about wide open borders where millions of people are coming through. No, that's not true. They just continue to attack on America by the emotions, continue to talk about things that aren't true. And yet we hear people like CJ then say that no matter what, this is their guy. They're going to go down with the Trump ship, so to speak. This is what happens when we don't take our election seriously. And like Tom says from LA, you know, this is our country. It's the people's power that generates, the United States of America. That's who this nation is. But I will say this. I welcome the CJs of the world, their opinions to be aired early and often. I think it is a healthy thing for a free country to have all sides aired out. Nobody wants to stifle anybody. Last thing is this. Just about every single talking point that we are bearing through during this election cycle from the right wingers is absolute nonsense. It's a house of cards. From the sex change, from open borders. It just goes on and on. It's repulsive. And I think America has had enough of this, and they've grown tired of it. We're looking for a change.
So Mike, what do you think the outcome's going to be?
I think it's going to be a landslide. I believe in good people, and I believe in people power. I think it's going to be a landslide, but I don't think they're going to give up. I think they're going to follow the CJ mentality, and that's where our risks lie.
You know, Mike, always well thought out and well said.
You know, I was struck, like Mike was, watching the NFL game yesterday, the Packers game, sad as it was. With the Republican ads, the presidential ad, was a list of frightening things, supposedly, all of which were fictitious. One of them being crime wave in the country, crime going up, when in actuality, crime has gone down, violent crime has gone down. Everything in the ad was hyperbole, exaggeration, or falsehood. And it's all designed to create fear, which is the main message Donald Trump has, which is you all need to be afraid, and I can solve the things that you're afraid of for you. Stop thinking. You're afraid. Stop thinking. I'll take over. It's a fearful message, and I think we all ought to be recoiling from it, and I hope we are.
You know, Sandy, he's an impetuous kind of person, and you see him. That's not the kind of person, in my own life, I can only speak for me, Sandy. I don't want to be around people like that. I choose not to be.
Well, I'm smiling because I've watched now some of his rallies, and I realize that the man is so narcissistic that he thinks if the words come out of his mouth, they are important, whether they're drivel or not. And so he spends 2 hours saying things that I think he thinks are profundities, okay? None of them being profound whatsoever, much of them being made up as he goes along. In fact, all of it, I think, is extemporaneous drivel, stream of conscience, non-profundities. And for some reason, this captivates an audience. And that's the question I have in my mind, because it isn't even entertaining. The things that are laughed at aren't funny.
No, they're not.
You know, it's as if someone is standing up with a sign that says laugh. You know, this is the point, you're supposed to laugh, and then they laugh. But, I think that this is an audience of people who are angry and potentially fearful, and he has struck a chord of anger and fear And it's a dangerous one, okay? It's always been the basis for populism, and it turns out that populism hasn't had a happy ending almost ever.
Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl, Sandy. Pleasure speaking to you, gentlemen. Yeah, I'd like to point out what a hypocrite this Eric Hovind is. On one hand, he says, "We can't have people crossing the border. They could be drug dealers." Well, on the other hand, he accepts $26 million crossing the border, which is rumored to be drug money to be transferred from the Mexican bank to his bank. That's okay. So I just wanted to just point this out to the people that are listening. What a hypocrite this man is.
Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, let me ask you. Donald Trump, 4 years ago, actually 8 years ago, was able to the suburban vote overwhelmingly supported Donald Trump. Today, that same suburban vote, for the most part, is shunning him and saying, "You don't represent us." What happened?
Well, I think Donald Trump has created a we they, and the they that he's painted includes the so-called educated, the intelligentsia. And I think the suburbs are filled with people who are well-educated and who he has decided to indirectly assault by making the well-educated they, okay, the elite. And I think by painting using such a broad brush and creating such a large group of sort of enemies within, I think he's indirectly painted within that group everyone not only in the cities, but in the suburbs that lie around those cities. And that's what's happening here in Wisconsin, and it's happening across the country.
Yeah, suburban people who in many instances over decades voted Republican, he can't count on them anymore now.
Well, I think the suburban Republicans were people who actually had ideological views about Republicanism and had policies that they sought to have implemented. And quite frankly, Donald Trump has abandoned all of what used to be Republican policies. He only has two policies that he talks about now, the primary one being immigration, okay? And his foreign policy is essentially not the standard Republican policy of yore, but is something far different. And so he's got tariffs. Free trade was something that Republicans believed in. Tariffs are anti-free trade, and immigration, which is a policy which has sort of been introduced by him, and it's one that he wants to have as an ongoing problem without a solution, because he proved that by killing the bill that was promising to be a partial solution to it.
All right, let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you very much. You say what, sir?
I just wanted to respond to your last comment about, you know, why people aren't responding to him, the urban vote. I think it's like...
Suburban vote.
Suburban, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
I think it's kind of like, you know, Earl goes out and buys a suit and looks at it and says, wow, this looks great. And then he puts it on and he goes out a couple of times and people are giving him strange looks. But he thinks he's got a great looking suit on. Suit didn't fit, and it looks terrible, okay? I think that's what it's all about.
In simplest terms, I think you explained it. Would you agree, Sandy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Donald Trump didn't bear, you know, the chaos of his first administration was, and his willingness to abandon principles of all kinds for the purpose of obtaining power and grabbing control of the Republican Party and ridding it of any of the so-called rhinos who were people who were ideologically Republican and turning it into a cult has become repulsive to a number of people who were centrist Republicans.
You know, Sandy, when people use the verbiage cult, that's pretty effective word, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's effective in the Republican Party clearly has become a party of a personality, Donald Trump, instead of a party of sort of ideological principle. And I think anybody would have trouble denying that, the MAGA Republicans as well. And I think the MAGA Republicans are people who are self-declaring themselves to be part of this party of personality, Donald Trump, rather than a party of principle.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's hard to separate yourself from that when a man says, I'm not going to accept the outcome of the elections a second time, even before the election. It's bad enough the first time. But if you're still supporting the guy who's saying that, we can look at you kind of with a jaundiced eye, because that makes no sense.
Well, and the only sense it makes is a very troublesome sense, okay? And, you know, because the fact is that the peaceful transfer of power is fundamental to a system that has stability. And if what you're striving for is a system without stability, with instability, something that can be grabbed a hold of by an individual and controlled individually, that's clearly the objective of a process in which you self-declare in advance of an election that the outcome of the election makes no difference.
Yeah. All right. 855-752-4842 on a Motown Monday. Next up, actress Yvette Nicole Brown on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. My co-host on Tuesdays and Fridays, Sandy Williams, is going to be with us the entire week. I'm excited about that, but I'm even more so excited. We've got up next actress Yvette Nicole Brown. Good morning to you. How are you doing, young lady?
Good morning, Earl. It's happy to be here with you.
You know, I've seen you in a couple things. What's it like to be a movie star?
You know, it's funny. My movie appearances are kind of drive-by, block, and blink and miss me, so I don't know how that is. But being on television is great, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, you can be a movie star on television. Let me ask you, you're here to talk about the election. What do you want to say?
I want to say that it's important for those in Wisconsin to get out and vote, how important you all are. And I want to talk about wisdems.org/vote, which is where they can go to make sure that they're registered and that you guys can even register on Election Day, which is great. You take a photo ID and you can go and register and hopefully vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. I'm here to celebrate them and hopefully help push them to victory. And we need Wisconsin to do it.
Have you ever been so involved in a campaign before? Were you involved already, or did the fact that Kamala Harris came into the picture as a candidate for president, you know, ramp up your involvement?
I, I've been civically minded my entire life. My mom, may she rest in peace, raised me and my brother to care about our country and to care about Black people and our rights and all of that. So from the time I was 18, I've always voted. But I'll say since 20, maybe Barack Obama's election is when I got really, really excited about what could be. And every election since then, I've been fighting the good fight and trying to do what John Lewis taught us to get, you know, get
make
some good trouble.
Make good trouble.
Make some good trouble. And so I've always tried to do that. This election in particular, I feel like is an existential crisis. I feel like if we don't get this one right, everything that our ancestors fought 4 years ago will be lost. And it's not just about Black folk. It's about immigrants. It's about women. It's about Latinos. It's literally everyone that is considered an other will be in trouble. And I think Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are the kind of people that care about everybody. And we need those types of leaders. So I am literally up at 7 a.m. in California calling you in Wisconsin to talk about how important it is for everybody to vote.
You know, it's so very well said. And the way you approach this as a young woman makes me feel proud as a 70-year-old man that to hear that, because we need more young people like you. It's your future. And so you have to, and I try to talk to young people and get them as engaged and involved as you are. When you talked about the existential threat of the other guy, and I don't know how we can't put that into perspective. Even if you can say whatever it is you want to say about Vice President Harris, I don't know how you get to whatever it is about Kamala Harris. I got to vote for Donald Trump. Help me understand how you get there. How do you get there?
Exactly. And, you know, someone was talking about it. I think it was Van Lathan was talking about it on his podcast. He was listing how well-versed we all are in accepting certain things from certain people. Because even the simple thing about having three wives and kids from different women, they would not accept that if that was Barack Obama. You know what I mean? Being a felon, that would not be accepted if it was Kamala Harris. So there's a lot of things that are forgiven and accepted and even called divine where this person, that other person is concerned. And yet you have a public servant that their entire life has been about for the people. She's worked in every branch of government. She understands every branch of government and has always been on the side of the people. And she wants to do that as president. And yet we want to question her policies when the other side has none. I don't understand how we're here. But I know one thing, I'm going to fight with everything I have to make sure this is not our future. And I love that you said young. Listen, I'm 53 myself. I look younger than I am. I'm a seasoned woman myself. But I do believe that because I have the voice of a lot of the younger people because of the shows that I've done and the projects that I'm a part of, I hope that they'll be like, let me listen to Yvette on this, you know. So it's just important. And it's one of those things where they say all hens in the hen house, everybody got to get involved. This is, if you were ever thinking of sitting on your couch, this is not the one. I recently, Earl, I saw, I was in a thrift store and I saw a jar of buttons. And it was in the sewing section, so it wasn't making a statement, but it reminded me of the jelly beans and the marbles that Black folk had to count in order
before
for the
they
right
could
to
vote
back
right.
in the day. The miles they had to walk to be able to vote back in the day, the poll tax they had to pay in order to be able to vote, which would sometimes be equal to their entire pay for the month, you know, in order just to vote. So you had to choose, am I going to feed my kids or am I going to fight for the rights of my kids? We don't have to do any of that these days. We just get in a car or Uber or walk down the street and we just stand in a line and we get to vote for who we think is best to lead our country.
Do you know what?
The idea of not doing that scares me.
I have to say to you, I've got a new hero. Yeah. Thank you very much. I wish I had more time. Sandy, tomorrow is the day.
Tomorrow's the day. Yeah, it's the surgery tomorrow. Oh, no, it's not surgery. It's just suspense.
All right. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, Madnair on air. Thank you all for listening. We'll have at it on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.